All right. I'm sure you've all noticed that following Korbanos, we have this lengthy section dominated by Tehillim that we call Pesukei Dezimra. The literal translation of Pesukei Dezimra means verses of song or praise. And the question is are we required? We know that there's a requirement to recite Shema. We know that there is a requirement, at least a rabbinic one, to recite the Amidah, the silent Shmon Esrei. But where does this responsibility to recite Pesukei Dezimra come from? So interestingly enough, Pesukei Dezimra is mentioned in our Gemara. I guess the most direct mention of it is Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos, 118b, says as follows. It's the first source on your sheet. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Yehei chalki migomrei halel b'chol yom. Rabbi Yossi says, I wish that my place or my section will be with those who finish halel every day. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. You want to be saying halel every day? Eini? Is that really true? V'ha'amar mar, didn't we learn? Hakori halel b'chol yom harezim echari from Megadis. Anyone who says halel every day, it's like he's cursing and castigating before God. It becomes, why? Because it becomes meaningless. If every day I'm saying halel, so then what makes this day different than any other day? So what was Rabbi Yossi talking about, says the Gemara? Ki ka'aminan b'psukei dezimra. What was Rabbi Yossi talking about? Rabbi Yossi was talking about psukei dezimra. So from this Gemara, if we were to take the Gemara at face value, so Rabbi Yossi says, I want to be from among those who recite Pesukei Dezimra every day. That would seem to indicate that Pesukei Dezimra is not a requirement, but an option, right? The good people, you know, or I should say even the great people, are the ones who recite Pesukei Dezimra every day. On the other hand, it is the people who have less time on their hands, who don't, right? We would put it staunchly, I don't know, in there are some people who say animam, all 13 animam means every day, and some people who don't. There's some people who say the shesh zechiros, the six things we have to remember every day, and some people who don't. Some people who say parsha saman every day, and some people don't, and so Rabbi Yossi wants to be from amongst the people who say Pesukei Dezimra every day without any indication, that there is any requirement or a responsibility. On the other hand, you may have an indication that there is a responsibility from the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Says the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina. Says Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Avina. Kol ha'umer tilal David b'chol yom shalosh pe'amim. Muftach lo shehu ben ha'olam haba. Anyone who recites Tehillah le'David, and here it's referring to Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, which we call Ashrei, right? Anyone who recites this three times a day is guaranteed a place in the world to come. Well, my taima, so the Gemara says why? Mishum da'asya ba'al faith, because it's written in the Aleph Beis portion. So this would seem to be moving it in the direction of a greater requirement or responsibility. What would similarly point to the fact that it is a requirement or a responsibility? The fact that Pesukei Dezimra is surrounded by brachos. What are the brachos that surround Pesukei Dezimra? You have Baruch She'amar, right, at the beginning, which is a bracha. How do I know it's a bracha? It has the words Baruch Ata Hashem in it. And it ends with a bracha, and that is the bracha of Yishtabach, which also has Baruch Ata Hashem. Those are the brackets for Pesukei Dezimra. We don't recite brachos on just anything unless you're liable to do it. The problem is even from the Gemara in Brachos that says that if you recite Tehillah David, you're guaranteed a place in the world to come, doesn't sound like it's a requirement or responsibility. So two questions come up. How is it that we seem to treat it like a requirement or responsibility? And what's the indication that we treat it like a requirement and responsibility from the fact that we recite brachos before it and afterwards? And number two, how is it that we're reciting brachos? We already spoke about that everyone is very uptight amongst the Rishonim, about reciting brachos that aren't in the Gemara. Right? If you have a bracha that's not in the Gemara, so for us to go about reciting it, that already is a bit iffy, nerve-wracking, anxiety-causing. And nevertheless, here we have Baruch Shamar, and we have Yishtabach bracketing our Pesukei Dezimra without any indication in the Gemara that we should be reciting these brachos. They're not there. So, claim a couple of the Rishonim, or maybe it's the Achronim, I can't remember right now, that it's actually in a Yerushalmi. I think it's a Rishonim. That the Yerushalmi records the brachos of Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Problem is they must have had a different Yerushalmi than we currently have today. Because to this day, and listen, you guys can take upon yourselves the project, with the Bar Ilan CD and everything, we have yet to find the bracha of Baruch Shamar or Yishtabach in the Yerushalmi. Nevertheless, the Rambam, who here is recording the tradition that goes back all the way to the Gaonic period, right? The Gaonic period was the end of the first millennium. That's when a group of scholars who were the poskim for all of Am Yisrael roamed Babylon. You may know their names, Sa'adya Gaon, and Hai Gaon, and Achai Gaon, and Shrira Gaon, and these were the great poskim of the Jewish people. They were, for many, many years, considered the final word on halacha. It wasn't until the Rambam basically declared himself the final word of halacha that the people who lived in Baghdad finally accepted that there were no more Gaonim. But the Rambam there records the responsibility or the requirement of Pesukei Dezimra. So the Rambam says, V'shivchu chachamim, and the chachamim praise l'mishe korez miros, to anyone who reads miros songs, mi-sefer Tehillim, from the book of Tehillim, b'chol yom v'yom, mi-tila le-David atzof ha-sefer, from tila le-David, from Ashrei until the end of the book of Tehillim. Right, which is Ashrei and the Halalukot, right? Those are in the five Halalukot that we recite. Those are considered the end of Tehillim. And he says, "Ukvar nahagu likro psukim lifneim v'la'achareihem," and there is a minhag to recite psukim beforehand and afterward. And he says straight out, "V'tiknu bracha lifnei azmiros v'hi baruch sha'amar u'bracha la'achareihem v'hu yishtamach." And they, what does tiknu mean? They established a blessing beforehand and a blessing afterwards, and those are your Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. And then afterwards, you read Shema, the Birchos of Shema and Shema itself. So the Rambam seems to be indicating here a couple of things. Number one, that it is a requirement, that at least Tehillah le-David and the five Halukot are a requirement. And number two is that there was a takana, there was an establishment of a bracha at some point. So what you seem to have here is that an extra Talmudic tradition that the rabbis of the Talmud, and maybe even earlier, established the responsibility to recite Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. Rav Soloveitchik, on a number of occasions, Rav Shechter records this in Nefesh HaRav, pointed out just kind of an intricacy of a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Right, you'll notice that for Ashkenazim, right, we have Hodu and Mizmor Latoda and Yehi Chavod all after Baruch Sha'amar. Right? That's how it is in our Sidurim. For Sfaradim, you have Hodu, Mizmor Latoda and Yehi Chavod all before Baruch Sha'amar, and therefore you have the actual Pesukei Dezimra after Baruch Sha'amar, starting with Ashrei. So the Rav explained what's going on here. So the Rav explained as follows. So he says that really, really, we shouldn't be allowed to recite any praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We shouldn't be allowed to say it at all. Why? The Gemara in Bracha says, Who is it that is permitted to praise Hashem? One who can encompass the entirety of the praise of God. What's our problem? Our problem is we're simple, you know, pashuta human beings, right? With limited minds and limited comprehension and imagination. We cannot comprehend an omniscient and omnipresent deity. We just can't comprehend it. It's beyond our abilities as human beings to be able to understand it. So, because of that, we should have no right to praise God, right? Because by definition, any praise that we give will be limited, right? If I say Hashem is great, so by saying Hashem is great, what have I basically done? I basically embarrassed the notion of God, right? The notion of God is far greater than greatness, right? And the word great, because I start imagining to myself all the things that I think of are great. You know, I don't know, you know, mint chocolate chip ice cream, and a roller coaster, and you know, all the things that I could think of that I might describe as great. What's it called? Frosted Flakes. All those things that I might describe as great. You know, those things are certainly an embarrassment to the idea of God. That I would even compare God to Frosted Flakes is itself an embarrassment. So how is it that we're allowed to pray God? So how is it that we're allowed to praise God ever? So the Rav explained, and this was one of his famous halachic theories, was that almost everything that is potentially prohibited requires some sort of matir. A matir means an allowance, something that will open the door to allow you to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Okay, that's what you require. So just to give an example, right? What's the matir for work on Saturday nights? Havdalah, right? Once I've done Havdalah, once I've recited Havdalah, I now have a matir, right? I have some sort of act that basically opened the door to allow me to do Malacha on Motzei Shabbos. So, what is the matir, the Rav asked, for us to praise Hashem? So the Rav explained, that the matir is Baruch Sha'amar, right? Why is Baruch Sha'amar a matir? So you need a word of matir, right? When we say Havdalah, when we say Hamavdil bin Kodesh L'chol, we declare the difference between holy and unholy. So what's the matir? So we say, Ralelcha b'shriyei David avdecha, right? What do we say? One of the lines of Baruch Sha'amar is that we will praise you with the words of David, your servant, right? That since David wrote down his word, the words of Tehillim, right, inspired by God, right? He wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh. Let's say it wasn't Nevuah, it was at least Ruach HaKodesh, it was at least divine inspiration. Those were allowed to be written. So we, as human beings, we declare our allowance that since it's already written in Scripture, we have the right ourselves to say those same lines. Okay, that is the allowance. So Baruch Sha'amar is the matir. Right, so he says that's why Ashkenazim have a different responsibility. Even though it seems that the Iker, the mainstay, and we'll prove this later on, the mainstay of Psukei Dezimra is what? Is Ashrei, etc. And to a certain extent, it's very sensible what the Rambam says and what the Minhag Sfarad of saying Baruch Sha'amar right before Ashrei so that it should be right there. But once you add these extra Psukei Bracha, which the Rambam says we seem to have added in order to, you know, increase the praise of God from other areas of Tehillim and from other areas of Tanakh, the praise Hashem, so once we have added those in, so we need it to be within the matir. So therefore, it has to be Baruch Sha'amar. It has to be after Baruch Sha'amar. The Rav was so makbid on this that what would he in fact do? He would say, you'll notice there's an introductory mizmor. We say mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, right? Right before Baruch Sha'amar, right? Which is a section of Psalms, right? So how is it that we're allowed to say that before Baruch Sha'amar? So says the Rav, you're right, we shouldn't be allowed to. That's one of those extra things that we add. So what would the Rav do? He would say, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, only after Baruch Sha'amar. That was the practice of the Rav. Right? That we would actually move that because we need a matir. Okay? So our matir for the whole day of prayer is Baruch Sha'amar, which is going to give us kind of an interesting, there's an interesting second part to a machlokas, which we'll see later on. Okay? The question is, the second question of, in terms of, is it a requirement? So it seems to be that it started off as a minhag, and then it eventually Chazal thought it was a good minhag, and therefore they established it. And once they established it, they put a bracha on it as well. Although maybe we can make the argument that this is proof that there's a bracha on a minhag, but that's for another time. So the question is, why are we saying this? Why are we saying Psukei Dezimra? Why, you know? Isn't davening long enough? It seems to take, it seems to get longer every week. People are adding in new things all the time. So why are we saying these sections? So a couple of theories. We'll look at a couple of Gemaras and Brachos. So number one, the Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph says as follows. Darash Rabbi Simlai said, Rabbi Simlai, he interpreted. La'olam yisader adam shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achar kach yispalel. What should a person do? A person should first praise God and then he should daven. Why should he praise God and then daven? So I can give you two theories. If you want to give the one that takes away from God's omniscience, theory number one is to say, well, you need to butter up anyone before you're going to ask him for anything. Right? You don't just go to Dad and say, Dad, can I borrow the car keys? And I say, you say, Dad, I don't know how I would ever know how to drive if I didn't have you as my inspiration. You are a wonderful, stupendous driver. I have never seen anyone drive as well as you. Thank you so much for that inspiration. Okay? I don't know. You complete me, Dad. Can I borrow the car keys? Okay? Then he lets you borrow the car keys. Right? That's the way it happens. So that would be the minimizing God's omniscience. The other perspective is, before you start asking from God, you, as a prayer, as a petitioner, should know from whom you are petitioning, right? I think this is, right? Because sometimes we're a little bit too flippant in what we ask for God, right? I need food. I need money. I need this. I need that. I need everything. I need a new car. Whatever it is that we need, we're often too flippant in what it is that we ask for God. So by requiring us to first be misader shvacho, to first declare our praise of God before we start asking for things, we learn how to prioritize what it is that we're looking for rather than ask for all of our, you know, very basic and potentially mundane needs and to ask for things that may be more authentic needs. Like, there's a massive difference between I need, you know, food and I need playoff tickets. Right? There's a bit of a conflict between those. So by being misader shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu beforehand, right, by praising God beforehand, all of a sudden you have a different approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than you might otherwise think. So that's part one there. Darsh Rabbi Simlai, lo misader adam shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achar kach yisbalel. Who did we learn this from? We learned this from Moshe. Right, Moshe minam mi Moshe. Dechsiv ba'etchanan el Hashem ba'itayi. Uchsiv Hashem elokim atah chilos alors etzavadecha etzkadlecha ve'tiadecha etzkadasha b'mishbel v'shamay v'aret asher yasech ma'asech k'ruotecha. Right. So what does it say? Moshe, when he's describing how he beseeched God to allow him to enter into the land of Israel. So before that, he says, God, who is like you, right? Who can do actions like you? Right, and then he says, "Ebranaver es aret atova." And then he says, "Let me pass and let me see the good land." Which I think I pointed this out before, but it's worth repeating. It's nice that we learn how to daven from Moshe, but what's the irony of the fact that we learned how to daven from Moshe? Yeah, this prayer, God said no, right? God say, Moshe says, "God, you're awesome. God, you're great. Now let me go into the land of Israel." And God says, "No, I'm sorry, you can't." There you go. That's our model for prayer forever and ever and ever. Right, go take, you know, maybe we should have picked a different one, right? You know, when he's much more chutzpahdik, let's say when he's asking on behalf of all of the Jewish people at Har Sinai. But it's an interesting point, and the Rav, I think makes also a good point here in Worship of the Heart. The Rav says that Hashem never promised to be an onet tefillah, only a shomeat tefillah. Right, that God never promised to be a responder to prayer, only a listener or a hearer of prayer. So this is also probably one of the, markers of that point that the Rav is making here also. And that being said, one should recognize that davening isn't only about getting what you want. It's probably more likely about recognizing what it is that you in fact need. Okay, and Moshe didn't need to enter into the land of Israel. He certainly wanted to, and so God had to answer him from that perspective. So it's interesting, from this we learn that when we structure the Shemona Esrei, when we structure our Amidah, we structure into three parts, Shevach, Barkasha, and Hodah. Right? We have the first three blessings, which are praising God, the middle blessings, which during the week are number in 11. Right? The middle 11 blessings are requests, and the end is Hodah, the last three are thanksgiving. Okay, so we learn it from there. So could one potentially extrapolate from there that it's not just, you know, the particular Amidah, the particular silent devotion which requires us to have that structure of praise, request, thankfulness, but perhaps the tefillah as a whole also requires us to have that same type of perspective, where you open up with praise before you start getting into the nitty gritty of tefillah that comes after Baruch Hu. That is a, you know, one potential interpretation. That would be the one. Okay? The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Amud Beis, there's Mishnah there, in Brachos, quotes potentially a second reason. Right? Or, the Mishnah says, in Omdim Lispalel, Elamitoch Kovid Rosh, right? A person should only daven if he has the right seriousness. And now quotes here the Chasidim Harishonim, the early Chasidim, what would they do? Hayu Shohin Sha'a Achas Umispalelin, they would wait an hour before they would daven in daven and focus in order kadeshi kavnu libam laaviem shabashamayim, in order they that they should properly be properly attuned to their father in heaven. Afilu melech shoel b'shlomo lo yishiv anu afilu nachash karuch halakivo vayasik. Even if the king should ask him how he's doing, and even if a snake is climbing up his leg, he should not be, he should not stop. So the second reason that we would say that we would have Psukei Dezimra is Psukei Dezimra is kind of a hechsher tefillah. It is there in order to, you know, institutionalize preparation for proper prayer. Ooh, say that three times fast. Okay, so it's order, it's there in order to institutionalize it. That we should be, you know, it's not going to take us an hour, it's going to take us 15, 20 minutes on Shabbos, you know, 8 minutes on, during the week. But, you know, that we should have some time of kind of silent devotion in order to focus on our preparation. So those are, those two reasons, are important. And then there's potentially a third reason. A third reason is if you go back to a Gemara that we saw already, Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, where it talks about Ashrei. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kola Omer Tilal Davi B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim, Mutach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Right? Anyone who, says Tilal David three times, so he is guaranteed a place in the world to come. My time, so what's the reason the Gemara says, Ilema Mishum Da Asya Ba'alef Beis. If you tell me the reason is because why? Because it comes in the Aleph Beis. So Nema, we should say Kuf Yates, right? Mizmor Kuf Yates in Tehillim is significantly longer, and it has like, I think, five psukim per letter. You know, this only has one pasuk per letter. So Ashrei Tmimei Derech the Asya Bitmanya, sorry, Apin. It has eight psukim per letter, letter. So rather, what's the second reason? El Mishum Di Isbei, because Tehillah David Ashrei in particular has what? Poseach Es Yadecha Umasbi Alecho Chayratzon. So it has Poseach Es Yadecha Umasbi Alecho Chayratzon, right? You open your hand and you give food to all. So then we say Neima Halal Hagadol. So why don't we say Halal Hagadol? Halal Hagadol is the Kile Olam Chasto psalm that we recite on Shabbos. So why don't we say that one instead of Ashrei? That also has a statement, right? What does it have? No Sein Lechem Lechol Basar Kile Olam Chasto. You give bread to all people. So then the Gemara says Mishum De Ispei Tarte. No, we wanted two good reasons. What are the two good reasons? Aleph Beis, number one. And Poseach Es Yadecha, it has both of them, so therefore it is doubly good over any other potential competitor for that position. So here we have potentially a third reason for why one might recite Psukei Dezimra. Here, what's the third reason? Psukei Dezimra is merely an expansion of the requirement to recite every day Tehillah LeDavid. Right, that we have a responsibility to praise God for the very fact that he provides for us all of our needs, right, Poseach Es Yadecha, and to praise him because he encompasses the entire earth with his chiyus, with his life. So because of that, we have a responsibility to recite Psukei Dezimra. What's the practical ramification of this? So the practical ramification of this comes up in the Torah. We already spoke about Rabbi Yaakov Bal HaTurim, the son of the Rush, and there he deals with the question. Let's say, I know it never happens to us, but, you know, I heard there are people out there who sometimes come late to shul. Right, so they come late to shul, right, I heard about such people, and you don't have time to say Psukei Dezimra. So everybody knows that one of the mainstays and responsibilities of davening with a minyan for both men and for women is that they should recite Shema and Shemona Esrei with the tzibor, with the congregation. So if I decide I'm going to sit and I'm going to recite, you know, Psukei Dezimra with proper kavana, what's going to happen? I'm not going to be able to recite Shema and Shemona Esrei with the tzibor. So what should I do? So clearly, in terms of halachic waiting, the Birchos Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei carry greater halachic weight than the minhag potential takana of Psukei Dezimra. So therefore, if you had to choose, you would choose to recite Psukei Dezimra, or you would choose to recite Birchot Kriya Shema and Shemon Esrei over Psukei Dezimra. The question is, do I go back later and recite the Psukei Dezimra that I missed after davening? It's a good question, right? The halachic issue is clear. Do I go back? So says the Torah, V'im ba'al beis ha'knesses, if you come to shul, umatza tzibor besof psukei dezimra, you walk in and they're up to az yashir. Al zeh sha'alu l'rav nutrinai, they ask this of Rav Nutrinai Gaon, ma'u sheyispalel ima tzibor, v'yomar psukei dezimra acharka, what should you do? V'heishiv she'eno yachol ki teknum kodem atfila. So says Rav Nutrinai Gaon, he goes, no, you miss it, the Psukei Dezimra train has passed, right? If you miss the Psukei Dezimra train, if you oversleep, that's it, you're done. So who is this like? So clearly, if we view Psukei Dezimra as a preamble to davening, either because I need to sit for an hour before I daven, or I need to praise God before I daven, so then once I've davened, there's no point in saying Psukei Dezimra anymore. On the other hand, if I view it as an expansion of Ashrei, right, an expansion of the responsibilities of Ashrei, so then potentially I would say it afterwards, because Tfilah has passed doesn't mean the responsibility to recite Ashrei has passed. So the opinion of Rav Nutrinai Gaon is that Psukei Dezimra is just a preamble. It's a Heiri Dimsa. It's a Hesher for Tfilah. Right? It's there not for its own requirement or responsibility. It's there for what it can do for your prayer. So therefore, if you've davened already, it's pointless to recite Psukei Dezimra afterwards. So it says that if you go down, if you take, it says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Numbeis, Sif Aleph, so he says, V'im kvar hitzchilu atzibur yoterem ve'in shalos lomar Psukei Dezimra, he says, if there's no time to recite Psukei Dezimra, filu bedilug, even by skipping around, so then what should you do? Yikra kriya shema uvir chosea ima tzibur, right? What should you do? You should read Shema and its brachos with the tzibur, v'yispalal imahen, then you should daven your Shemona Esrei. V'achar kach, and afterwards, yikra kol psukei dezimra below bracha shalifnei mishala shachareyem. Says the Shulchan Aruch that what should you do? You should recite psukei dezimra. When should you recite psukei dezimra? You should recite psukei dezimra after davening is over. Why would you recite psukei dezimra after davening is over? Because the only reason to try, there's two reasons to recite Psukei Dezimra. It's not only there as a preamble, it's not only there as a hechsher, it's not only there as a hechi timsa in order for you to daven. It's there for its own reasons as well. And what's the own reason? The own reason is as ashrei. Right? And once you've recited, and therefore just because you missed out on your opportunity to have your preamble to davening, it doesn't mean you don't have the opportunity to still fulfill your responsibilities of Ashrei and of its recitation three times a day. Okay? The Aruch HaShulchan has a bit of an issue with this. He says, wait a minute. Why aren't we reciting the brachos? Right? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, V'heinemes, he says, Shebeshem Rabbeinu Yonah hevi hator, she'im lo amar psukei zimra, Kolai Ikar, so he says, I understand you're bringing me in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, that if you didn't recite Psukei Dezimra at all, Yomar Oso Nachara Tvila, Bevir Choseyen, then you should say them after davening with their brachos, Bebarach Sha'amar V'yishtarach Kamo Kodem Atvila. So he says, wait a minute. He says, but what does the Rabbeinu Yonah say? Rabbeinu Yonah says, you should recite it afterwards with its brachos. With its brachos. Why would he say it with its brachos? So if you view the primary reason of Psukei Dezimra as what? As a mitzvah, as an expansion of Tehillah David, as an expansion of Ashrei, so then for sure you'd be required to make brachos also. Why should it change? I would add also, if we wanted to bring back the Rav that we started on in the beginning, why would the Rav say you would need to recite Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach even if you missed Psukei Dezimra? Because, how can you go about your day? You're going to be saying Ashrei again, you're going to be saying praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the rest of the day. How are you going to be able to say those praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the rest of the day if you haven't said your matir? Right? If you haven't opened the door, you can't recite praises of God for the rest of your day. So because of that, it's potentially a good reason to recite the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. Lamaisa, we paskin, like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you come in late, and you don't get a chance to recite, Baruch Sha'amar, Psukei Dezimra at all, then you should recite the verses without the brachos after David. That is our psak. Probably because of Safek Brachos Lahakel, right? If we're not sure of whether you should recite a brach or not, we take the more lenient opinion. That being said, a lot of times people think, oh, there isn't enough time for me to say anything, but the truth is, there is a way to potentially shorten Psukei Dezimra if need be. Obviously, ideally one should get there early enough to shul in order to recite all of Psukei Dezimra, but very often, it doesn't happen that way. So here the Shulchan Aruch gives a hierarchy of responsibilities in terms of what the minimal amount you can say of Psukei Dezimra. So the Shulchan Aruch in Nun Beis Aleph, so he says, Imbala Beis HaKnesses, you come to Shul, Umatza Tzibur Besof Psukei Dezimra, and you find that the congregation is already completing Psukei Dezimra. So then what should you say? Omer Baruch Sha'amar Ad Me'ula B'Tishbachos, right, you say Baruch Sha'amar, then you say Ashrei, Ad Me'atavi Ad Olam Haluya, and after that, what should you say? Halu et Hashem min Hashamayim, Ad Bnei Yisrael Krovo Am Krovo Ohol Haluya, ve'achar kach, Halu Al B'Kodesho Ad Kol Neshamat Elei Haluya. So what should you say if you have minimal time? The Shulchan Aruch says, you say Baruch Sha'amar, you say Ashrei, and you say Halalu Kod number 3, and number 5. Okay, that's what you should say. Comes along the Ramah. The Im Yesh Lo Shahus Yoser, if you have a little bit more time, so what should you say? You say Hodu Lashem Ad Vuhurachum. Right, you say Hodu Lashem until Vuhurachum. The Yidaleg Vuhurachum Shekodim Ashrei Kibratayim Inarak Psukim Lukatim. And you can skip Yihi Chavo. The Achar Kach, then you can go straight to Yishtabach. V'achar kach yotzer kriyas shema uvirchotzea, v'ispalel imatzivur. V'imin shehus kol kach, yidaleg gam mizmor halu et Hashem min Hashamayim. Okay, so what can you do? So he says, and if you have even less time than the Shulchan Aruch says you have, so then what can you do? You can say, Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, the fifth haleluka, and Yishtabach. The minimum amount that one could say is Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, Yishtabach. Okay? And that's the, that's what the Ramah adds here at the end. Hagah, im ein shehus lo yomar rak Baruch Sha'amar, tila David Yishtabach. Right? So then you can get away with just those. Okay? So that is if you are, running out of time or if you're lacking for time. The same rules, would apply for Shabbos. One more interesting thing is you'll notice that, except for like, a couple of exceptions. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks what I think is an obvious question. How did Az Yashir make it into Psukei Dezimra? And he says La'olam Yisader, the Gemara in Brachot says La'olam Yisader Shvachos Hamakom V'achar Kach Yispalel, right? And he says, but where did we get this thing that we should recite Az Yashir during Psukei Dezimra. It says V'yesh l'shol she'la gdola Ama kavu Psukei Dezimra Shirat Hayam Acharei HaMizmorim. Right, it says, why are we saying Shirat Hayam after all the Mizmorim? It says V'arei Torah Kodemes L'Nevim. He says, if we're gonna say it, when should we say it? We should say it at the beginning, because usually when we recite things, Torah comes before Nevi'im, Nevi'im comes before Ksuvim, etc. So he claims he thinks the Rambam, some have the girsa in the Rambam that they would actually recite Az Yashir after Yishtabach. Which is highly problematic because it potentially creates a whole hefsek issue, but some people have that. But there might be an explanation. What's the explanation? The explanation is, let's say time is running out, and you're not going to make Zman Kriyas Shema, but you said Az Yashir, have you fulfilled your requirement to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim by reciting Az Yashir? So l'chora, it's debated a little bit, but the Rav, in one of his comments on the Haggadah, thinks that possibly that would be true, right? That it makes it in that since Hallel, right, is part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, that potentially you could fulfill your requirement of Zichias Yitzias Mitzrayim to remember the Exodus from Egypt every day. Potentially you could fulfill that by reciting Az Yashir, right, the miracle at the Yom Suf. So again, the reason Az Yashir might have ended up as part of Suki de Zimra is not because it's part of the praise of God, though there is praise of God clearly in Az Yashir, but because that it is part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim in every day. Another thing that ended up in Psukei de Zimra, just because for lack of a better place to put it, is Mizmor Lesoda. Mizmor Lesoda is there as a way of commemorating the Korban Todah, right? The sacrifice that we would bring in order to show our gratitude or our thankfulness to God. Which is why Mizmor Lesoda is removed from our prayers on days when we would not bring a Korban Tovedah, where one would not be permitted to bring a Thanksgiving sacrifice. So we don't say Mizmor Lesodah on Shabbos. We don't say it on Yom Tovim, on Erev Pesach, when you wouldn't be allowed to bring a Korban Todah. And also we have the responsibility of standing during Mizmor Lesodah, again, just because it was like a sacrifice, and while your sacrifice is being brought, you had to be standing. So that's why we stand for Mizmor Lesodah. Another interesting issue is when we stand, everyone always stands for Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, so there's no really reason to stand for that. That is just how we end off each section of Tehillim, and since we're officially finishing Tehillim, right, with Hallelujah Hallelu Al Bakacho, that Hallelujah is the final chapter of Tehillim, so we say Baruch Hashem Le'olam, but we should stand for Vayivarech David. Why do we stand for Vayivarech David? So here, I believe it was Rav Putner explains that the reason is because we stand anytime anyone performs a mitzvah. So you'll notice that in your article sitter, what does it say you should do around Vayivarech David time? You should do what? Give tzedakah. What's everyone around you doing? They're going to perform a mitzvah. So what should you do? You should stand for the people who are going to perform the mitzvah, right? That's one of the explanations, the same reason we stand for a chatan right when he walks down the aisle, because why are we standing for him? We're standing because he is on his way to do a mitzvah, and every time we see someone who's on their way to do a mitzvah, we stand for them. So that is in a nutshell, Psukei de Zimra, without all the praise and thanksgiving that we say, and hopefully that will bring a little bit more meaning to our recitations daily.
The saying, giving tzedakah for have a higher standard than during the repetition of the Amidah?
Yes, because you should be, yeah, because there, we'll get to the repetition when we get to the, when we deal with the repetition, but there's an issue with Tfilat HaTzibur, and people do it there that way because the repetition of Shemona Esrei is the most, I don't know, despised portion of prayer, but... people... I always tell people, but like, oh, we have to say Tehillim after davening for this person who's sick or this person who's sick. Like, well, you know, we daven for them who are sick, but you should have focused when we daven for them. But yeah, all right. Yeah, Ruth.
How would
Sayyid
Yashir
answer
Barashim?
Not after Baruch Shemar, after Yishtabach. After Yishtabach. Which is why, just as an interesting, that it's really not so clear. You can have a hefsek between Yishtabach and Kaddish and Baruch Hu, right? There needs to be, especially if we view Psukei de Zimra as a preamble to Tefillah, you have to go directly into Tefillah. Which is why Rav Soloveitchik was of the practice of during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, when we say Shir HaMalos, right, Mima Amakim, during that time, he would actually say that before Yishtabach, after Az Yashir. And on Shabbos, since Nishmas Kochai, according to some Achronim, is actually an expanded version of the bracha of Yishtabach, he would actually say it before Nishmas Kochai. So that's when they would recite it there.